This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How the confidence-competence loop explains why some managers handle workplace tension better than others. The hidden cycle that separates managers who resolve conflict from those who avoid it. In short, the confidence-competence loop determines whether a manager grows more capable with each tense situation or more avoidant. Managers who engage with tension, even imperfectly, build skill through practice. That skill builds confidence, and that confidence makes the next difficult conversation easier to begin. Avoidance does not reduce tension, it compounds it. Confidence in handling tension is earned through action, not granted before it. The gap between skilled and avoidant managers widens with every conversation one manager has and the other does not. Definition: the confidence-competence loop is a self-reinforcing cycle where practice builds competence, competence produces small successes, and those successes build confidence, which drives further practice. In tension management, each navigated conflict strengthens both the skill and the willingness to engage the next time friction appears. What most people get wrong about tension in the workplace. Watch two managers face the same team conflict, and you will see something remarkable. One steps toward the friction, names what is happening, and works through it calmly. The other delays, softens, or routes the problem to HR. The difference looks like personality. It looks like nerve. But in my experience across 6 decades of watching people communicate, personality has very little to do with it. The common assumption is that some managers are simply more confident. They were born with a thicker skin, a steadier voice, a natural comfort with confrontation. That assumption lets the rest of us off the hook. It makes confidence a gift rather than a skill, and it turns the gap between managers into something fixed. Here is what is actually happening. The confident manager is not less anxious. They have simply built enough competence that the anxiety no longer stops them, and the avoidant manager is not weaker. They have simply never turned the loop. The confidence-competence loop, which I introduce and Say It Right Every Time, is the mechanism underneath all of this. Once you understand it, the difference between these two managers stops looking like a personality gap and starts looking like what it really is, a practice gap. How the confidence-competence loop actually works in tension situations. Most people think of confidence as a prerequisite. You wait until you feel ready, and then you act. But in Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time, I argue the opposite. Confidence is the result of action, not the condition for it. Doing the brave thing is what makes you feel brave. In the context of tension management, this plays out in a very specific sequence. A manager encounters friction, two team members in open conflict, a performance problem that everyone is tiptoeing around, a decision that has split the team into factions. They feel the pull of anxiety, and then they do something about it. They name the issue, address the behavior, or hold the difficult conversation. It does not go perfectly. It rarely does, the first time or the fifth, but it goes well enough. That partial success builds something. The manager now knows they can handle this type of situation. They have a reference point, a real memory of navigating tension without the situation collapsing. That knowledge is competence. And competence, accumulated through repetition, becomes confidence. Not the loud, performative kind, but the quiet, resilient kind that comes from knowing you have done this before and survived it. The next time tension appears, the manager enters with slightly more composure. Their presence in the room settles the temperature rather than raising it. They ask clearer questions. They hold the space better. Each conversation adds to the stockpile. Over years, this is what separates the manager who handles workplace tension fluently from the one still dreading it. The loop has a dark version too. A manager avoids one difficult conversation. The tension does not dissolve, it thickens. Resentment builds between team members. The manager now faces a harder situation than the original one, and with even less confidence than before. Avoidance compounds. As I write and Say It Right Every Time, one avoided conversation leads to resentment, and resentment leads to more avoidance. The loop turns in both directions, and every day of silence makes the productive loop harder to start. The role of anticipatory anxiety before a tense conversation. There is a specific kind of discomfort that happens before a difficult conversation, not during it, not after it, but in the hours and days beforehand. In Chapter 6, I call this anticipatory anxiety, and it is worth separating it from the anxiety you feel in the room. Anticipatory anxiety is almost always worse than the performance. Your mind runs the worst-case scenario on a loop. The other person breaks down. They get defensive. You say the wrong thing, and the whole relationship fractures. You imagine a catastrophe, and your body responds as if the catastrophe is already happening. What this anxiety actually signals, though, is that the conversation matters to you. It is not a warning to avoid. It is a green light. The managers who handle tension well have learned to read it that way. They feel the same discomfort as anyone else. They simply act in spite of it, and in doing so, they turn the loop one more time. This matters practically because many managers misread their own anxiety as evidence of inadequacy. They think, I shouldn't feel this nervous if I were good at this. But the reverse is closer to the truth. You feel nervous because the stakes are real. What you do next is what determines whether you build competence or retreat from it. If you want to start a difficult conversation that tension has been blocking, recognizing anticipatory anxiety as normal is the first step through it. What this looks like when tension hits a real team. Let me give you a concrete picture. A manager, call her Rachel, has two senior team members who have stopped communicating directly. The conflict is bleeding into meetings, slowing decisions, and forcing other team members to choose sides. Rachel knows the issue. She has known it for weeks. But every time she considers addressing it, she imagines the scene going badly, so she delays. Meanwhile, a manager at the same level in the same organization, call him David, faces a similar situation. David had a comparable situation 2 years earlier, and he handled it badly. He said too much, lost his composure for a moment, and had to repair the conversation afterwards. But he repaired it. He used a simple process, acknowledged what had gone wrong, corrected course, and moved on without flagging it repeatedly. The situation resolved, not perfectly, but well enough, because David completed that loop. Even with its rough edges, he has a reference point. When the new conflict surfaces, he feels the familiar anxiety. But he also feels something else, the memory of having navigated something like this before. That memory is competence. It gives him just enough ground to stand on. Rachel, having avoided the earlier conversation, has no such memory. She has only the imagination of disaster. And imagination, without experience to correct it, always default to catastrophe. This is exactly the kind of dynamic that fractures team synergy over time. Unaddressed tension does not stay still. It spreads into meetings, decisions, and how honestly people communicate with each other. A manager who can handle conflict when it surfaces in a meeting prevents a great deal of the damage that slow burn avoidance causes. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Why the loop goes unrecognized by most managers. The reason most managers do not see this mechanism clearly is that the results are slow. Nobody wakes up on a Tuesday and decides they are going to become the kind of manager who avoids tension. It happens gradually, one deferred conversation at a time. And because each deferral brings immediate relief, the short-term feedback is positive. The anxiety drops. The day feels more manageable. The cost is invisible until much later. There is also a cultural layer. Many organizations quietly reward conflict avoidance in managers. Raising difficult issues is called stirring the pot. Managers who do not surface problems are called easy to work with. The feedback loop of the organization reinforces avoidance, which means the manager's own loop never gets the chance to turn in the productive direction. The third reason this goes unrecognized is the managers compare their internal experience with other people's external performance. They see a colleague handle a confrontation calmly and assume that colleague feels calm. They do not. Confidence in handling tension does not look calm because the person feels calm. It looks calm because the person has enough competence to act despite not feeling calm. That is a crucial distinction, and mistaking one for the other leads managers to believe the gap between them and their more confident peer is unbridgeable. It is not unbridgeable. It is a practice gap. The same applies to how a manager handles dominant voices in a discussion or ensures that every team member's perspective is genuinely heard. These are skills built through repetition, not traits assigned at birth. The strong method as a tool for starting the loop. If the loop requires action to start, then the most useful thing a manager can have before a tense conversation is a clear structure. Anxiety contracts your thinking. A framework expands it again. In Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the STRON method, a six-step pre-conversation ritual designed to reduce anticipatory anxiety and build genuine readiness. State your intention clearly before the conversation begins. Take a breath and ground yourself physically before entering the room. Respect all perspectives by preparing to hear something you may not expect. Offer specific examples rather than vague complaints or general impressions. Navigate to solutions rather than stopping at the problem. Gain commitment to action before the conversation closes. This method matters for tension management because it converts abstract dread into specific preparation. When you know what you're going to say, what example you're going to offer, and what outcome you're working toward, you enter the conversation with a foundation under your feet. That foundation reduces the likelihood that anxiety will derail you, which means the conversation goes better, which means you build competence, which means you trust yourself a little more the next time. Strategic preparation is not the same as scripting yourself into stiffness. It is the direct source of confidence, not a substitute for it. The manager who prepares specifically is not over-controlling the conversation. They are giving themselves enough structure to stay present, which is exactly what a tense conversation needs from the person leading it. This is also where giving better feedback connects to tension management. The skill of offering specific, behavioural examples rather than general judgments belongs equally to feedback conversations and to tension conversations. Both require the same preparation, the same composure, and the same willingness to be direct without being harsh. When the loop breaks down mid-conversation, even well-prepared managers fumble. They say something that lands badly. They react to a sharp tone when they intended to stay neutral. The other person becomes defensive in a way that was not anticipated, and the manager loses their footing. This is where the three-step mistake recovery process from Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time becomes practically important. It is straightforward. Acknowledge what went wrong, correct course, and move on. No prolonged self-flagellation. No repeated apology that keeps drawing attention back to the misstep. Simply name it, adjust, and continue. A manager who breaks down in self-criticism mid-conversation teaches themselves, at a subconscious level, that a mistake means failure. That teaching makes the next tense conversation harder to begin. A manager who recovers cleanly teaches themselves something different, that a stumble is not a collapse, and that the conversation can continue. That is another turn of the loop, even in difficulty. The most confident managers I know are not the ones who never fumble. They are the ones who are not afraid to fumble. And recovery done well, as I write and say it right every time, is often more impressive to the other person than a flawless performance would have been. It signals humanness, honesty, and strength. All three of those build trust, which is the foundation of any room where tension can be resolved rather than merely endured. Knowing how to use a clear resolution method when conflict deepens becomes far more accessible once you have built the foundational composure that the loop produces. And making sure that every participant feels genuinely heard during tense discussions is itself a competence that managers develop turn by turn. What managers who handle tension well actually do differently. The practical differences between managers who handle tension well and those who avoid it are observable. They are not mysterious. They are the accumulated product of repeated practice. Managers who handle tension well do these things consistently. They address friction early, when it is small, rather than waiting until it has become a crisis that is impossible to ignore. They prepare specifically. They know what example they will use, what outcome they want, and what they will do if the conversation becomes heated. They name what they observe in behavioural terms, not character judgments. They say what they saw and heard, not what kind of person they think the other party is. They tolerate the discomfort of a conversation without rushing to end it prematurely, which means the issue actually gets resolved rather than managed toward the nearest exit. They recover from missteps without abandoning the conversation or collapsing into self-blame. Each of these behaviours is a skill. Each was built through practice. And each one, when it works, adds confidence for the next difficult moment. The compound effect applies here just as it applies to any skill. Small, consistent improvements in tension management create significant differences over months and years. One conversation handled rather than deferred is one more turn of the loop. One turn of the loop is the start of a different kind of manager. Frequently asked questions. What is the confidence competence loop in workplace tension management? The confidence competence loop is a self-reinforcing cycle where handling tension builds competence, which builds confidence, which drives further action. In tension management, each conversation a manager navigates successfully adds to both their skill and their willingness to engage the next time tension appears. Why do some managers avoid workplace tension instead of addressing it? Managers who have not built competence in tension management feel anxious before difficult conversations and interpret that anxiety as a signal to retreat. Without practice, confidence stays low, avoidance becomes a habit, and tension compounds over time into something far harder to resolve. How does the confidence-competence loop explain differences between managers? Managers who engaged early with tension, even imperfectly, built competence through practice. That competence fed confidence, which made them more willing to engage again. Managers who avoided tension never started the loop, so the gap between competent and avoidant managers widens with every passing year. How can a manager break the avoidance cycle and start building tension management skills? Start with one small, specific conversation rather than waiting until you feel ready. Prepare your opening sentence using a clear framework. Keep the scope narrow and focus on one issue. Completing the conversation, however imperfectly, is the first turn of the loop and the foundation of real confidence. What does the Strong Method have to do with tension management? The Strong Method is a six-step pre-conversation ritual that reduces anticipatory anxiety before a tense conversation. By preparing your intention, your examples, and your desired outcome in advance, you enter the conversation with enough structure to stay calm, which produces a better result and builds genuine confidence. Does conversation anxiety mean a manager is not cut out for handling tension? Not at all. Anxiety before a tense conversation is a sign the conversation matters to you, not a sign you should avoid it. In Say It Right Every Time, I describe conversation anxiety as a green light, not a stop sign. The managers who handle tension best are not the ones who feel no anxiety. They are the ones who act in spite of it. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.